Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. At a time of coming judgment, Jeremiah wept over the fate of his people. Do we in America weep for the many sins of our nation? Today, the take-home principles from a look at a time when everything in Israel was upside down, like it is here in America. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue a series on the Church in Babylon, unleashing the power of a Spirit-filled witness. Now, Erwin Lutzer talks again about a time when darkness is called light, and light, darkness.
But what God is saying in all of this is, don't you see how serious sin is, and you must turn to me? That's the whole point. Now, I began this message by saying God filed for divorce against Judah. Did he fulfill it? No, he didn't carry through with the divorce. All through these passages, what you see is God keeps saying, come back to me because I'm your master. One translation says, I'm your husband. And furthermore, in the end, you're going to come back. Another reason why many of us believe that God is not yet finished with the Jewish people, that there is going to be a time of great restoration, is because Jeremiah describes some events that have never happened when the people are brought back from the different parts of the world and they are in the land and they are worshiping him. So God says, I filed for divorce, but I haven't gone through with it because I do want to bring you back. And once again, you will be my wife and I will be your husband. You see, those of you who felt offended because I mentioned certain sins, and by the way, people who are addicted oftentimes are very, very easily offended because what you have is this synthesis between shame and feeling offended and conviction. It's really something, isn't it? But those of you, remember this, the whole point is so that you might come to God and know how gracious and merciful he is and how he's waiting for you to come to him. So that's number one. Number two, we have to remember not just that God wants our hearts, but God sees a nation. And Jeremiah certainly saw his nation in his day, and God sees America today. God sees a nation. But God also sees individuals. He sees you as an individual. Don't get lost in all of this. Look at what's happened to America without looking into your own soul. For example, here's Jeremiah. Notice in chapter 4, verse 19, Jeremiah is speaking. My anguish, I writhe in pain. Oh, the walls of my heart is beating wildly. I cannot keep silent. For I hear the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Listen to me carefully now. Look into my eyes if you're able to do that. You know what America really needs? It needs more people who will weep because of the sins of this nation. That's what America really needs. I was hoping you were out there for a while. I thought maybe you weren't. We need people, but not only those who weep. We also need those who work, because there are many places where God is doing wonderful things in America. Later on, we're going to talk about the church in Babylon more specifically and show that in the midst of a nation that has lost its way, God oftentimes has not only reform movements, but ministries, and we could name many of them, connected with the Moody Church. So it's not as if, oh, we simply sit back and wait for the judgment. No, we are active. We are serving. We are representing God in a fallen world in what Augustine called the city of man. We pick up the pieces of this broken culture, and we give hope and help to this culture. So thank you for all those of you who are doing what you can. I wouldn't be witnessing to as many people as I try to, as I connect with people, if I didn't believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation and is the only hope for every individual to be in God's presence forever. I would not be devoting my life to spreading that message if I didn't believe that God called us to this hour to represent him as best as we can. And as I say repeatedly, in all the different vocations represented at the Moody Church. Finally, this is most important now. Jesus is the end of Jeremiah's search for one perfect man. Did you know, and you know, of course, today we've been looking at so many different passages, but they're all here. In chapter 5, God says to Jeremiah, if you can find one righteous man, I won't judge the whole country. Wow, Jeremiah begins his search. He says, first of all, he went to the poor people. Surely there, he said, I couldn't find any righteous person. Couldn't find any person who is perfect and righteous. He said, I went to the rich. I thought, surely those who were upper middle class or higher middle class, surely there'd be some righteous among them. He said, I checked them out. I couldn't find one. He said, I scoured the city of Jerusalem. I went to the various neighborhoods. I'm looking for one righteous man. He said, he couldn't find any. And you know, the same is true in America here. You can go down any street, any alley, and any home, and you'll not find one righteous person, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. Wow. We're all tainted with sin. But that's the whole purpose. When we read a passage like that, we should say, boy, aren't we ever glad that now we can get to Jesus really fast, because he is the perfect one. He's the perfect sacrifice. He meets God's requirements so that judgment does not need to come to us, because if we trust him as our representative, as our Savior, if we trust him, he becomes ours. The judgment of God in eternity doesn't fall on us, because it fell on him. We believe on him, and thank God we have found the one righteous man who can deliver us. Anybody glad for that fact, that we found the one righteous man? The great deliverer is Jesus. Now, for all of you who are listening, no matter where you are in your spiritual journey, D.L. Moody, who founded this church, said many interesting things, many true things, many pithy things. But there's one quote I want to leave with you, and he said this: it is possible for a man, and of course he'd include women in that, it is possible, he said, for a man to be as vile as hell in one moment and be saved the next. Conversion isn't something that just happens over a period of time. Now, you know, you may grow into an understanding, but the moment you believe, you are saved no matter what your past is, no matter what you've done, because the message of the gospel is good news. It isn't just keep these rules, and if you don't, you'll go to hell. All of us in one way or another often break the rules, but Jesus Christ is our Savior. And because we believe in him, we are saved, no matter who we are, no matter our background, no matter our past. Jesus can save anyone. He can save to the uttermost, the Bible says, all those who come unto God by him, because he died in our behalf. I say it again, a man can be as vile as hell in one moment and be saved the next. Because sometimes we even sing that song, you know. The vilest of sinners who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. So that woman at the airport who was on her way to Montreal, before she left, I left her a copy of the Gospel of John and explained to her that the gospel is not what she thought it was, But we have a Savior to bring us into God's presence, to give us a personal relationship with Him. And no matter which direction our country goes, we ourselves can walk with God. And if you agree with that, and I hope you do, would you bow your head in prayer? Now, after that message that I've just preached, do you need to talk to God? Some of you have never trusted Christ as Savior. Why don't you just say, okay, that moment, this moment, I believe in Him as my righteousness, as my perfect sacrifice, as my Savior who kept all the laws in my behalf. Believe and be saved. Would you right now? Believe and be saved. And Father, we thank You that You are a holy God. But we thank You also that Jesus met our requirements of Your holiness. So we worship You because You are holy. And we ask today, Lord, that You might make us like Jeremiah, to weep over the sins of our nation. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. I want to tell you that nobody is too bad or too evil to be saved. But plenty of people are too good. By that I mean, they don't want to acknowledge their sin and their need. There's oftentimes hope for the greatest of sinners, like the song that I quoted. The greatest of sinners who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Because of this evangelistic emphasis today, there's some of you who perhaps have believed on Christ. It would be wonderful if you were to connect with us. Let us know about your decision. And from my heart to yours, thank you so much for those of you who pray for us, those of you who support us and help us, because without your intervention, so to speak, without your help, we could not do what we are doing. This series of messages has been birthed in prayer. What happened is this. As I began to think about the relationship of the church to the Old Testament, it dawned on me that perhaps the best example we have of the church living for God is Israel living for God in Babylon, because they were a minority now in the midst of a majority culture that was pagan. And that's exactly where we are in America. But here's the good news, as you shall discover as this series progresses, that God was with them, helping them, giving them wisdom, giving them courage, helping them to discern issues of conscience that they faced. And as a result, many of them lived successfully for God in the midst of a pagan culture. And that, my friend, is our calling as well. Stay tuned, because in a moment you're going to be given information as to how these messages can be yours so that you can listen to them again and share them with your friends.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up When Darkness is Called Light and Light Darkness, the second message in a series on the Church in Babylon. Next time, don't miss Recognizing False Prophets. The Church in Babylon is a 10-part series on CD, and we'd like to send you that series as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.